got everybody in Benninghoven. Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, I'm going to call the commission meeting to order. I want to let you guys know who's here in the room with me. We have John Carlson, our executive director, John Fisher and Adriana Shea, our deputy executive directors. We have Sherry Fonduena, Anita Biederman, and John Snelson from staff. And we got
Carol Horn, I'm sorry.
And Carol Horn's here as well. We have from our Attorney General's office, Rick Dalmammer. We got Sankey Mastriff, Chief Deputy Director, and Neil Manji with us. And we have Assistant Chief Rob Allen from the Wardens with us. And we got a whole bunch of friends from the community with us today. And then I think it would be proper for each of the commissioners that are on the phone to let us know that you're there for the record. So, Richard, you're the vice president?
Yes, I'm here in the Fish and Game office in Santa Barbara.
This is Don Benninghoven. I'm also here in Santa Barbara.
This is Dan Richards, and I am at the Fish and Game Department offices in Ontario.
And Mike Sutton, overlooking Baltimore's Inner Harbor.
Dan Richards, are there any members of the public there?
No, sir.
Mike Sutton, are there any members of the public in Baltimore?
Lots of them, but nobody from California, I don't think.
Okay, with that, we're going to... Mr. Carlson, tee up our items, and he's got an announcement to make to start off.
Folks here in the room, we're recording this proceedings with a digital recorder. We need folks to turn off their cell phones. At this point, that causes interference on the digital. That is quite a problem. We appreciate that. So while everyone's powering down, we're going to get some funky noises. And beyond that, we are about ready to start up. This is the special meeting of April 21st, 2010. California Fish and Game Commission teleconference call. And if you want to speak on any item, we have green speaker cards here. Down in Santa Barbara, you said you had one speaker?
Yes, we do, Paul Weakland.
We will be limiting talk to 3 minutes per item, and we'll get started right now with item one. Discussion and possible adoption of proposed changes to Section 7.50, Title 14, CCR, related to Central Valley salmon sport fishing. Do we have speaker cards? Okay. Does the department want to make any comments on number one?
Yes, we do. This Neil Manji, Fisheries Branch Chief, California Department of Fish and Game. At this point in time, the department is asking that the commission consider continuation of this particular agenda item to a discussion adoption at their May meeting. We have worked with the commission staff. The current ISOR needs to be amended, and some details still need to be worked out. Given the quota of 8,200 fish, the department initially put together some seasons that would hopefully meet the quota. Since then, what we have done is we've looked at it in a little bit more detail, and with some concerns of anglers and the environmental community, we would like to alter those dates slightly to ensure that we are protecting winter run Chinook salmon, but also providing the most angling opportunity that we can for fall run and to establish a late fall run fishery. The reason for continuation, the renotice, is there are a couple areas that were not identified in the initial statement to allow fishing. That was an oversight on the department's part. That would be an area from Red Bluff Diversion to the Deschutes Road Bridge, which was historically a very healthy fishery for fall run in that area. That was not noticed properly on our part. And also, based on the quota that would be allowed for the Feather River, we are requesting an area designation change. Right now, we've only got Highway 70 Bridge, and we've only got Sunset Pumps. And in order to provide the opportunities to the public, we would like to investigate another section that we could allow fishing in, excluding the Thermalito After Bay outlet pipes. If that area is allowed to be fished, the quota of 1,000 fish for the Feather would be met very, very quickly, very similar to the issues that we have on the Klamath. So at this time, we'd like to be able to work with commission staff and bring a map to the May meeting explaining the areas and the seasons, and hopefully have a decision at that. It will be, according to commission staff, we have adequate time for that notice. These regulations for Central Valley would not start until July 31st, which should give us ample time for review, OAL review, and sign-off.
Okay, we have a couple of public speaker cards on this item, if we're ready to go to public comment.
Yeah, we are.
Is Paul Weakland wanting to speak on this item?
Yes, he is. Do you want him to speak? I can speak.
Go ahead.
Do you want to take this now?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. This continuous violating or going beyond the deadlines, there seems to be no punishment, no penalties at all. The department continually does this. Since this is a Central Valley fishing item, I'd like to bring up that we are still waiting because you missed your deadline in reporting back about the California golden trout and the interbreeding of hatchery trout. And we are still waiting, and that deadline has been missed many times, and so now you're just sweeping it under the rug. And it seems to me that you have plenty of time to sit around the table and talk about these things, but what is it you want to go out and vet a field trip? Is that what it's all about? Thank you.
Okay, here at the Sacramento office, we have Bob Buki, followed by Ron LaForce. There's a microphone. If you just stand between John and Rick, that microphone will pick up your comments. Ron, you want to go first? Okay, Ron LaForce.
Sure, I'll go first. I'm Ron LaForce, president of United Outdoorsmen Incorporated, and we have some comments on the Central Valley fishery. I've been fishing this fishery on the Feather River and the Sacramento River since 1946. I'm older than dirt. So I've been around a while, and I want to say that many of my concerns have been addressed by Mr. Menji here this morning. We want the river on the Feather River closed below the Thermalito outlet so as not to take too many fish there. We'd like to see the barge hole closed. I think, in my own personal opinion, I'm happy with the Ridley Bridge as a landmark or something in that area and then allow us to fish downstream. I want to thank everyone here at the commission for addressing this problem. I realize we have a limited number of fish, and we have to distribute those fish so that everyone can take advantage of this fishery. I would be perfectly happy with a one fish limit per person per day on all the river systems. And I represent approximately 4,000 members here in California, and basically we're in agreement on most of the things that have been done. I appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob Buki.
Hi, I'm Bob Buki from Johnson's Bait and Tackle, and I'm pretty much in agreement with Neil Manji on the proposals he has. I would like to see the outlet closed, and I would like to see the barge hole closed. I'd like to see a little longer season on the Feather River because we've had the second highest jack count in 20 years. on the Feather River, and it seems like we ought to be able to get a few more fish on the Feather River, so I'd like to see that season extended a little bit. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Any more speakers? Any are they outlying areas?
Nope, not here.
Okay, suggested motion.
Okay, do I have a let's hear from the director our suggested motion, and then is there any comments or questions from the commission on this item one first?
John, you okay?
No, I'm fine.
I'm fine, Jim.
Okay.
I have a couple questions, Jim. And I'll start, I think they're probably mostly could be answered easiest by
Dan. Because we recognize your voice, but the public doesn't. Each time a commissioner speaks on the phone, you need to identify which commissioner you are.
Okay, sure, Jim. Sorry. This is Dan Richards. Neil, when did we first notice this adoption?
I believe in February, Commissioner Richards.
Okay. I've got to tell you, when did we receive the comments that you were referring to from the various constituencies that made you decide at the 11th hour to pull this from our agenda?
The constituents were, well, when it really came in, Commissioner Richards, was the PFMC's decision to allow the 8,200 fish. So we had a range of which happened last Thursday. We had a range of what we had to deal with in terms of trying to get something together. We tried to anticipate how many fish would be available. And at that particular time when we found out it would be 8,200 fish, we had run our modeling. And during that period of time and even up to that time, we had talked to the constituents about shorter seasons and longer seasons. And like I spoke earlier today outside of the meeting, in order to try to get the best case scenario, we could go a short season in the peak, or we could go with a little bit
right.
longer
no,
season.
I get all that, Neil.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Pacific Fisheries, obviously, we don't control them, so they gave you an 8,200 number on Thursday. Is that correct?
Correct.
What number were you working with prior to that? What were you anticipating?
We were anticipating anywhere from, you know, 0 to 10,000 because they still had some options down, or they were considering no fishing. 9% of in-river run would be 6,000. 12% was 8,200. So we were prepared to talk about whether we were going to go real-time quota for in-section.
Well, let me ask you this, Neil. You said you were prepared from 0 to 10,000, and 8,200 is what they, I guess, is it recommended what's the right word here? What is it they're actually?
They adopted
8,200 as the number. Then what is it that's making us delay? Seems to me like you were already in the zone. You were prepared from 0 to 10,000.
There was some issues regarding a late fall run fishery that the commission has adopted in the past also. If you remember, that was in November 16th through December 31st. Dovetailing that into the four seasons for the Central Valley fishery took a little time. And quite frankly, when we really sat down and looked at those scenarios, we thought that we could do a better job of protecting some a few winter run that would be caught. It was really fine-tuning, Commissioner.
I got to tell you, Neil, I'm disappointed by this continuing policy from both the department and then the commission having to deal with these things. I am always sensitive to third-party interference or data or assistance that comes in late that is what we're counting on to that we need to make whatever decision. I mean, those are out of our hand, and I can tolerate that. But in this case, it seems to me this is just another example where late coming people to the party are either supporting or wanting to change or in opposition. And the commission, once again, is faced with having to delay. And it makes me feel like you guys aren't doing your job, candidly. It's like, how come we're not better prepared? Why aren't we better prepared for these things so when we have these kind of meetings and we've noticed them, that we actually take the actions? I get that periodically there's going to be exceptions, but this is becoming the rule versus the exception. And I just it just drives me crazy.
Dan, Richard Rogers here. I don't disagree with your concern.
Good, thank you.
For lateness, my sense of this, and Neil helped me here. Maria Boykovich is here as well. My sense of this is that the department was anticipating a significantly lower number than 10,000, more like 6, as the maximum top. And not only that, but the lateness is fundamentally driven by the PFMC, which is why we're having this now as opposed to having had it, you know, a while ago, or at least during our normal meeting. And then the PFMC came in and fundamentally threw a surprise number out there of 82, which then I think put the department back into a, oops, you know, let's relook at this mode. Is that a fair statement, Neil? I'm not really sure if it is.
Yes, that is.
Before you guys talk anymore, Director Carlson's been asking to make a clarification here. And I just, Dan, since you've been on the commission, we've shut the, I think, we've shut this salmon season down every year. But in the past, the PFMC showed us curves like this when we got ready to set the salmon season as well. So it's not the first time something like this has happened to it. But Director Carlson wanted to make a clarification before we...
Just an excuse for this situation.
I guess I forgot to also announce that please don't speak. The public shouldn't speak unless they have a card and they're ready to speak. And we recognize them on an agenda item. But the clarification for the department that I'd like to hear on the record is that by cleaning this up and perfecting it based on PFMC quotas from last Thursday is not delaying an opening date for the Central Valley for the public. There is no, I want the commissioners to understand and the public, there's no delay here on when the opportunity will be available for the public. Could you explain that, Neil?
That is correct.
Taking this action May 5th is not putting a
right.
delay on what the season date
that
would have been.
That is correct. The first season that would open under any scenario would have been...
For Central Valley.
For Central Valley would have been on July 31st. And by delaying, we are able to fine-tune and provide anglers more opportunity while protecting other runs that we wanted to protect.
When you say the word delay, though, let's be very
right.
clear. We're not delaying any season for anyone
no.
in the public.
No, we're not.
We're delaying for procedure for the APA process.
Correct.
This is Sankey Mastra, Deputy Director. I'd also like to, and I completely understand and sympathize with the Commissioner's frustration about these last-minute changes. However, we're operating under a very long tradition and direction from the Commission to always look for providing as much opportunity as we can given the constraint. One of the issues, particularly with salmon, is you can set up the rulemakings with options and trying to anticipate all possible combinations. You can't. It's just impossible. And so, yes, Mr. Richards, you can just not change it and stick with it, but you pass up opportunity. That's your choice, absolutely. But the department is operating under the principles that are longstanding, that if we can identify additional opportunity, the commission has traditionally wanted to see those options, and that's the spirit in which we're doing this.
Okay, this is Dan, and I appreciate that, Sankey, and there should be no surprise from anybody. Needless to say, I am 1,000% in favor of any kind of expansion of any of the seasons that we can do that are legitimate, that we can back up scientifically. So that certainly isn't my issue here. My issue, and I'm going to support, of course, this extension, but my issue is what Neil said was we were prepared from zero to 10,000. and 8,200 falls within that range. And so that's my concern, is that we get these, and really what the rub here for me is these late, last-minute submissions from parties. In this case, the PFMC's 8,200 number comes in when it comes in. We can't control that. But what concerned me, and I heard Neil say this, was there were concerns raised by various constituencies that they had to relook at. And we've talked about this where we've talked about 2 weeks prior to any of our meetings, we're not going to accept anything else. And that way, you have 2 weeks to make whatever changes you need to do or whatever documentation we need to prepare so that we can then act. This constant delay and extensions are just more work for everybody on an already overworked and underpaid staff, of which I trust all of you know that since you're the people that are the ones doing it. So I don't need to beat a dead horse on it, but it's very frustrating to me, and I'm happy we're going to expand the opportunity, and I'm certainly going to support any motion that would suggest that.
So just say, you guys ready for a suggested motion now?
Suggested motion from staff is to continue the discussion and possible adoption of proposed changes to Section 7.50, Title 14, CCR, related to Central Valley salmon sport fishing to the May 5th, 2010 Commission meeting.
I'll make that motion. This is Dan. I'll make the motion.
This is Richard. I'll second it.
Okay, I got a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying, well, we're going to have to do a roll call.
Right.
So.
So,
this is for in favor.
The rules for teleconference calls, just to explain to everyone, we do have to do a roll call vote. We'll start with Commissioner Sutton.
Yes.
Commissioner Richards.
Yes.
Commissioner Benninghoven.
Yes.
Commissioner Rogers.
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg.
Yes.
5-0, motion carries. Moving to item number 2, discussion and possible adoption of proposed changes to the subsection B91.1 of section 7.50, Title 14, CCR, related to Klamath Trinity salmon fishing regulations. Department, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, Mr. Larry Hance of Region 1 up in Reading will be providing the overview if the commission would like some. Larry, are you there?
I am. Is that the commission as well?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Larry Hansen, California Department of Fish and Game. As you all know, on April 15th, the allocations were released from the PFMC. A quota of the Klamath River Fall Chinook adults was reached 12,000 individuals. Which is a fairly healthy allocation, not as large as the last year's, but still a viable number of fish to present a fairly decent sport fishery in the basin. Based on that allocation, we are looking at a daily bag limit of 3 Chinook salmon per day, of which no more than 2 may be over 22 inches in total length. In other words, 2 adults and 1 jack per day, and a possession limit of 9 Chinook salmon, of which no more than 6 may be over 22 inches in length. Fairly similar regulations to what we approved last year. Last year's sport fishery harvested an estimated 5,500 fish. This year we have 12,000 in the allocation. We feel that this is pretty safe and prudent guidelines to base the season.
Okay, do you... Do any of you have speaker cards on this item before the commissioners make comments?
Okay.
I do not.
Okay.
Yes, we have one here in Santa Barbara.
Okay. Let's hear from that member of the public before the commissioners make comments.
Okay, Mr. Wheatland.
Commissioner Paul Weakland, my only concern is, where's Neil Manji? The last time you had him speak first, is he going to want to extend or delay this decision as well? And on the Klamath, we had a terrible die-off here in recent years, and we still do not believe that it was high water temperature or low water flow. And the facts of these fish hatcheries being involved in the devastating and detrimental effects are still being pushed under the carpet. Thank you.
That's all the public speakers. Are there any comments from the commission?
None from Santa Barbara.
One from me in Ontario.
How about Baltimore?
None from me.
Okay, we got a suggested motion then.
Suggested motion is Fish and Game Commission, pursuant to the authority vested by Sections 200, 202, 205, 215, 220, 240, 315, and 316.5 Fish and Game Code, and to implement, interpret, or make specific sections 200, 202, 205, 206, 215, and 316.5 of said code, hereby amends subsection B, 91.1 of section 7.50, Title 14, CCR, related to Klamath, Trinity, Salmon Fishing Regulations, with the recommendations read into the record by Fish and Game staff Larry Hansen. No regulatory text will be included in the commission's website.
I'll make that move, Mike Sutton.
Second, Don Bennyhoven.
Okay, I got a motion and a second. We'll have a roll call for all in favor by saying yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Bennyhoven?
Yes.
Commissioner Richards?
Yes.
Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg?
Yes. Yes, have it, and that'll be the order.
Thank you. Moving on to item three, discussion and possible adoption of proposed changes to section 27.80, Title 14, CCR, related to ocean salmon sport fishing. Maria Vojkovic from the department has some comments, I understand.
Thank you. This is Maria Vojkovic from the marine region in the Santa Barbara office right now, and I will be addressing the salmon regulations for sport fishing in the ocean. Commissioners, in front of you, you've had two general options for ocean sport fishing. One is a no fishing option in all areas of the coast, and an option which allowed limited salmon fishing with proposed opening dates and season lengths based on the full range of alternatives that the Pacific Fishery Management Council adopted for public review in March. Option one is no longer viable as far as conforming state regulations to proposed federal regulations because the council did adopt some fishing seasons for the coast. So a couple of minor changes relative to the package in front of you currently were made since the council meeting on the 15th. One of them is intended to minimize the effect of fishing on the endangered winter run Chinook. The options that were available were a consecutive two-month closure in the fishery if there was one, or a 24-inch size limit. Those were what the National Marine Fisheries Service recommended for protections of winter run. So the council opted to establish 24-inch size limits, so that is an addition to your regulatory package at this stage. And the other item is an automatic spring opening date. The regulations you currently have provided for an early season automatic opening in the regulations. The discussion at the council and within the department has been Because of our regulatory process, closing a fishery is very difficult once it's open on a short time frame. We have been concerned about returns for salmon for the last few years, and we don't want to have an opening automatically if the salmon don't return this year. So within your package, we've removed that option within each of those areas along the coast. And we would be coming with a different regulatory package addressing the early opening season later on, not part of this package. So we've removed that. So we're recommending that the commission adopt regulations that conform explicitly with the PFMC recommended regulations in federal waters, and that is, and I will go through all five areas. For all waters of the ocean north of Horse Mountain and in Humboldt Bay, the season would be from May 29th through September 6th, 2010. For the area between Horse Mountain and Point Arena, the season would run from April 3rd through September 6, 2010. For the area between Point Arena and Pigeon Point, the season would be from April 3rd to April 30th, 7 days a week. Beginning on May 1st, fishing will be allowed on Thursdays through Monday only, and that would be through September 6th. The minimum size limit would be 20 inches through April 30th and increased to 24 inches thereafter. For the areas between Pigeon Point and Point Sur, the season would run from April 3rd to April 30th, 7 days a week, beginning May 1st. Fishing will be allowed on Thursday through Monday only through September 6th, 2010. The minimum size would be 20 inches total length through April 30th, 2010, and increased 24 inches total length thereafter. And for areas south of Point Sur, the season would run from April 3rd, 2010 to April 30th, 2010, 7 days a week. Beginning May 1st, 2010, fishing will be allowed on Thursday through Monday only through September 6th, 2010. The minimum size will be 20 inches total length through April 30th, 2010, and increased to 24 inches total length thereafter. The department is also asking for expedited review of this regulatory package so that the regulations can be in effect on May 1st or as close to May 1st as possible to have same regulations in state and federal waters. And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Sounds good to me. This is Dan in Ontario. Sounds like we're actually opportunity here this year, which is terrific.
Director Carlson wants to make a comment.
Well, a question for Maria and Sankey. The part about bringing a new initial statement of reasons to work on the early opener, when do you anticipate bringing that to the commission? Should we throw? Do we have an estimate of when we should throw that on the agenda, future agendas? Maria, I don't know if you had any plans or.
As soon as we find a place to put it on the commission's schedule, I mean, the sooner we deal with this, the better. It's just I will have to consult with Maria based on workload. It won't be May, I can guarantee you.
Right.
But I'm assuming June or August would be the logical meetings. But I will double check and get back to the commission staff when we have a date positive we can get you something. But I'd like to deal with it sooner than later so that the public understands how we might deal with an early opener next year.
Maybe send email us some draft working title that we can put on a tickler agenda.
Right.
Great.
Yeah, we can work with your staff to start penciling that out.
Okay, we don't have any public speaker cards here. Does any of you have public speaker cards out there?
Here in Santa Barbara, we have one.
Imagine that.
Should we go ahead?
Yeah.
Mr. Weakland?
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. I just have an analogy I'd like to share. They say that there are up to 2.2 million sport fishermen fishing salmon in this state.
for conservation and less argument. Let's say that there are 1 million fishermen go fishing. Let's say, too, that they do not catch their limit. They catch half their limit in one day. That would be one fish. So it's for easy addition, that's 1 million fish. That's caught in one day of fishing in California. That is five times more than the entire commercial harvest for a season. The other thing is this confusing geographic locations, how you move down the coast, and if you want to continue salmon fishing, you just keep on moving down the coast into these areas. I understand a lot of that is for enforcement reasons, but it is a little bit confusing. Thank you.
Suggested motion.
Okay, we got a suggested motion. If you, the commissioner's got any comments before we hear a suggested motion?
Yes, we have one here in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, this is Don Benny Hovind. I was going to ask the same question that John did. I think it's really important that we get the information as quickly as we possibly can to make that determination whether or not there is going to be an opening. But it's certainly important to not have an automatic opening. And Maria, I think, has a comment.
Thank you. Actually, we did discuss this at the PFMC meeting, and we did set up a structure within that process to consider early opening seasons at our March council meeting. So when we do get that first report from the technical staff about what happened last year and what they predict for this coming year, that we would then take that discussion up. So that's the kind of process that we've kind of marked out in the council process also.
Okay, is that it from the commissioners?
That's it for Santa Barbara. Good for Ontario.
Okay, we got a suggested motion, commissioners.
Suggested motion from staff, Fish and Game Commission, pursuant to the authority vested by 200, sections 200, 202, 205, 220, 240, and 316.5 and 2084 Fish and Game Code, and to implement, interpret, or make specific sections 200, 202, 205, 316.5, and 2084 of said code, hereby amend section 2780, Title 14, CCR, related to ocean salmon sport fishing. That is with the recommendations read into the record by Maria Vojkovic on the call today. Note the regulatory language will be included on the commission's website.
Okay.
Hang on just a moment. Maria has a question.
Just, John, the question is whether the expedited review is part of the motion or whether it needs to be.
No, we can work that through with staff here.
Thanks.
Roll to call vote.
Wait a minute. I don't have a motion in the second.
I'm Benning Hogan. I'd like to so move.
I'll second it. Dan in Ontario.
Okay. I got a motion in a second. We'll have a roll call. I'm asking for all those in favor to say yes.
Well, I need to do it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
A little short on the uptake there, John.
Yeah, it's a rough morning, rough week. Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Benninghoven?
Yes.
Commissioner Richards?
Yes.
Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
And Commissioner Kellogg?
Yes. Okay, the ayes have it, and that'll be the order. It's unanimous.
Okay, that moves us to our fourth and final item on today's agenda, final certification of environmental documents, adoption of findings and proposed projects or alternatives, and final adoption of the 2010 through 2013 mammal hunting regulations. Today's item is action only. The public comments that we received today are not towards the regulatory item. That deadline passed for those comments, but we will take public comment overall on the general item. We do have a couple of speaker cards. We from the department, will that be you, Saki?
Yeah.
Given Saki has a rundown for us.
Yes, good morning, Commissioner Saki Mastrup, Deputy Director of Fish and Game. This item is always a very complex one just because of all the quotas and hunts. So I'm going to only touch on the highlights. But if any of the commissioners have any specific questions, by all means, ask. I'll start with 265 and 365.
Hey, Tonky, hold off 1 minute. Hey, Rob, can you have them go out in the hallway? Thank you.
I will start with 265 and 365 since they're related. 265 is use of dogs for pursuit and take of mammals for or for dog training, and 365 are the regulation proposals. In both those cases, we're recommending no change at this point. You received a memo from us yesterday. The reason for our request is solely based on our inability to get our CEQA document into a final condition for certification. We are continuing to proceed to get it, that condition, but it's not ready right now. 360, the deer regulations. You have before you a bunch of quota change or a bunch of recommendations for quotas. They're largely only minor adjustments. Most of them are no change. I will highlight one zone that is there is a significant change, X1. We are recommending a change in the quota for the X zone, X1 zone general method from 2,370 last year to 1,275 this year for the general method, and for the archery only going from 270 last year to 130 this year. The reason for that is a long-standing discussion we've been having with the local folks up there in the Region 1 about concerns about too high buck harvest and wanting to pursue a little slightly higher quality hunting opportunity up there. This proposal is to accommodate that interest, which is to increase buck ratios and improve quality. Antelope, 363, the big change there is Zone 1. Zeroing the quotas out. There were only 8 tags we're in 2009. We're recommending 0 because of poor performance. Nelson Bighorn Sheep, 362. We have some small changes, but for Bighorn Sheep, important changes. We have a 2-tag reduction in Zone 2, and 1-tag increases in Zones 4 through 7, and 1 new fundraiser tag for a total change of tags for Nelson Bighorn Sheep from 19 last year to 22 this year. Elk, boy, what can I say? We have elk coming out of our ears. The package includes many, many new hunt opportunities, and I won't go through them unless you have specific questions. And then the one section that we are provided you an option is in 708, section G1M. This is the recommended changes to deal with hunters who are unable to use their tag they're drawn for. It's an option to allow them to recover points if they find themselves in a condition where they can't hunt before the hunt. And you were presented with two options, option one and option two. We're recommending option two.
And what is option two and one?
Oh, yeah. Option one essentially is if you've been issued a elk, antelope, bighorn, sheep tag in the big game draw, and for some reason, medical or otherwise, that you can't go on that hunt, it provides an opportunity for you to file an appeal to us with specified conditions, death in the family, illness or injury to the applicant, active military duty, or some other undocumented hardship. You could apply to essentially get a refund minus some application processing costs and get your points back. Option two is a little more general. It just says you can request an appeal based on hardship without all the paperwork. Option two is less bureaucratic. Option one has some more specific requirements.
Flunky, this is Adriana Shea. Does that address cases of fire?
No. The regulations, we do not recognize acts of nature as a reason to get refunds.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Dan, did you understand those?
I do. Thank you. Yes, we have one here in Santa Barbara.
Can you just talk about, is it a statewide increase in elk population, or it looks that way from the information? What's your assessment of that?
Yes. The department has been working for quite a few decades to reestablish and expand our elk herds throughout the state. And in spite of what people think about our competency sometimes, we've been very successful with this thanks to our elk and a lot of cooperative landowners. It is about habitat, and they're doing very well. And as the herds increase and where we feel that there's additional hunting opportunity, we have been providing those as options to the commission. And it's a good news story. Matter of fact, it's almost too good a news story. We are having increasing problems with depredation by these expanding elk herds, so we're actually in some cases trying to use hunters to help prevent additional damage to some of our ranchers and farmers.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, speaking for the whole commission, Sonke, I would say that the commission does give you credit for doing a good job for something, for a change.
Thank you. I'll take it.
We're doing a good job until the wolves get down here, and then that'll be a different problem. We'll address that when it happens.
Who just joined the call?
Sorry, it's Mike Sutton from Baltimore. Just got cut off.
No problem. We do have a couple of public speaker cards here. Did you say you had a public speaker card in Santa Barbara?
Yes, we do.
You ready, Jim?
Yeah. Let's go ahead here from the public, and then we'll have comments from the commission after that.
Go ahead in Santa Barbara.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland, I'm very disappointed to hear that you're pulling the black bear regulations off the table. Here's a contradiction again. The science is pure. The science is there. Yet you're going to bow down to a few squealing discontents. Thank you.
Here in Sacramento, we have a card from Jennifer Fearing and from Bill Gaines. Could you put that microphone right there? Thank you.
I'm here on behalf of the Squealing Discontent. My name is Jennifer Fearing. I'm here on behalf of the Humane Society of the United States and the nearly 70 animal welfare, conservation, and faith-based groups who formally opposed the expansion proposals for bear hunting and hound hunting. I won't restate our specific legal and scientific concerns except to say that they have not been answered yet by the department, which is why we believe the department's recommendations as of yesterday is prudent and significant. This process is meant to protect meaningful public participation, which includes timely responses to serious inquiries, which frankly should have been anticipated given the controversial nature of this issue. We strongly encourage the commission to heed the department's April 20 recommendation and make no changes to the hunting and bear regs. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Gaines, you can use that mic or that mic. You don't have to get on your mic.
Commission President Kellogg, members of the commission, the department staff, my name is Bill Gaines. I'm president of the California Outdoor Heritage Alliance, representing over 30 conservation and industry organizations with an interest in the mammal regulations package being considered today. COA and our member organizations are absolutely committed to making resource management decisions here in California based on the best available science. COA staff and many environmental organizations for years worked closely together to put in place CEQA statutes that ensure the gathering and analysis of the best available science prior to making resource management decisions. It's incredibly important that the integrity of the CEQA process is followed. If organizations and interests here in California have brought forth legitimate questions that have been unanswered to this point by within the CEQA document by the Department of Fish and Game, it's not only appropriate, but it's critical that the department answer those questions and that document be brought forth in a revised fashion, fully completed in front of this commission for certification at the best and soonest available time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any That's that concludes the public speakers. Any comments from any of the commissioners?
Yes, I have one. Does anybody else have one they want to go first?
Just
go ahead, Richard. This is Dan. I do as well, but please.
So do I, but I'll let you guys go first.
Okay. Shall I then, Commissioner Rogers, go first? I'm sorry.
No, you go first. You're the vice president.
Oh, I forgot about that. Sankey, I think it was not only politic, but technically appropriate for the department to have taken the action that it did yesterday in its announcement yesterday. I agree with Bill Gaines wholeheartedly in that a full airing of issues that are so carefully followed by many members of the general public as well as the organizations representing substantial numbers of stakeholders, not only here in the state of California, but nationally. I think it's incredibly important that the department answer all of those questions with the full force of the scientific ability that it brings to bear. This question of there are three things in this package that concern me greatly. One of them is archery, which we haven't really talked about much. Another, of course, is the bear tipping, the hound tipping switches. And then the third one is the bear, the way the department had put forward a bear harvest that looked like it was open season on bears, which in fact it was not, but without stating a top end to a potential harvest, it looked as if there was no harvest quota. And as a consequence, it allowed people who choose to portray the commission, the department, and hunters as being as not being stewards, but being bloodthirsty beasts themselves, it allowed them to be characterized in that fashion. And that is simply, by my way of thinking, very ill-advised. It is my opinion, and I've talked to a large number of people with respect to this, some of them my own hunting friends. They range from people who are clearly anti-hunting. One of them is, in fact, a member of the board, the national board of the Humane Society. But other people who are stunned that bear hunting is even still allowed in the state of California, thinking of it, as Commissioner Sutton was quoted in the LA Times front page yesterday, saying that it was an anachronism. We need, if we wish to protect the rights of the hunting public, we need to be excruciatingly careful with respect to how we answer all of these concerns and in a timely manner so that we don't get substantive professors from the University of California at Berkeley actually wanting to be withdrawn as a reviewer, a peer reviewer. This is a very serious situation. Bear tipping switches, for example, or it's tipping switches on hounds, for example. I think that, once again, that sets up the bear hunting community, and in this case the houndsman, for looking unfair. Archery that I mentioned, I have never seen a study done by the department, and they may have, but I have never seen a study done by the department that talks about the one thing about archery that the conservation community is very worried about, and that is wounding. The percentage of wounding, the percentage of animals that go off simply because the archer missed or the arrow did not have sufficient power given how far off the archer was, to bring down the animal, how many animals, not just bears, go off into the woods and die horribly later. These questions are profound questions for both fair chase and for animal cruelty. They need to be answered by us. As everyone knows, I am a hunter. I am also a steward, and I don't like us unnecessarily setting ourselves up to look like we're not.
Richard, sometimes you and I don't agree on things, and this is one of those times. But a lot of what you're talking about is covered in the environmental document, and, you know, there's nobody more disappointed in this thing being delayed again than I am. I'm the one that originally asked for this to, these change, most of these changes be made, and but it is what it is. I mean, we got to. I agree that we got to have this the environmental document right. And it's not because I'm afraid of getting sued. I'm the last person in this room that's afraid of getting sued. I'm so used to it. I'm looking forward to the Humane Society or whoever else wants to sue us once we make a decision on this thing. But Dan,
well, Jim, may I answer you just for a second, if I may? I don't want to make you think I'm afraid that the commission is going to be sued by anybody, by our normal, you know, parade of folks who do that. That's not what I'm afraid of, Jim. What I'm afraid of is mountain lions, here we go again. I guarantee you that if we don't handle this correctly, that we are setting up the hunters of the state of California for a ban on hunting, on bear hunting in the state of California. And I guarantee you that if we do not handle this thing correctly right now, that by this time, well, by fall of 2011, there won't be bear hunting in the state of California.
Well, I don't agree with you, but let's hear from Commissioner Richards had some comments.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Richard, by the way. I'm in 99% agreement with everything Richard just said, and I'm not going to restate all of that. I think he did a very eloquent job on it, and it's not necessary to. My major concern is, Salky, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This falls right into place on the number one item we had today. We've known for a year, because this was delayed from a year ago, that we were going to have a CEQA document prepared for this adoption of our mammal regulations. And I want you to tell me why you would say that this is being delayed. Well, actually, it's not even being delayed. You're suggesting just no change. I'm going to suggest a delay.
Well,
but
yeah,
hang on.
I have a recommendation also.
Hang on, Salky. What's that? I'm sorry.
I do have a recommendation. No change does not mean we're walking away from this.
Okay, well, that's good, because that's where I'm going to go as well. But I want you to explain to me what you mean when this was based solely on our, this is a quote, I wrote it down, solely based on our inability to do an adequate CEQA document. We've got hundreds of biologists. We've got 20 or 40 attorneys that work for us, and we've had a year. How the heck can we be in that position?
First off, I did not say that we couldn't do an adequate document. What I said is we couldn't complete a document for final certification in time. There is an important difference there.
Okay, well, why?
Right, and I'll explain that.
In a year.
Yes. What you do under CEQA is you scope it, and in this case, Bear, we had an old document that we refreshed, and in an CEQA process, it's about public disclosure and inviting input and creating a document that explains in as clearest terms the environmental setting and the potential impacts, the environmental impacts of the proposed project. Now, that process, normally, you draft a document, you put it out for public review, and then based on the comments,
sometimes you can address them and respond saying, no, it's there, you just don't understand or whatever. Sometimes they provide comments or information that's new to us or is an issue with a new angle that we did not, for one reason or another, anticipate. CEQA recognizes that probability and expects it. That process then, if there are substantive comments or many, part of the process would be for us to go look at those comments, respond, or if there's some comments that have identified a new issue that we didn't know of, we're required to redraft it and recirculate it for another 45-day period for public input before you go to final. That is the process. Unfortunately, the regulatory process we're in isn't always very forgiving. For example, you remember that a version of this happened when we tried to adopt the North Coast MPA network. We had piles of comments. It delayed finalizing the document. The unfortunate thing with things like mammal regs is we have some hard deadlines, and this is unusual, thankfully, but we got a lot of meaty comments on the document.
When?
Over the last couple, 3 months, they've been trickling in. Many of them are requiring considerable debate and discussion and research on our part. We simply ran out of time to do a proper job. The last thing the department wants to do is put a CEQA document in front of you that we don't stand behind.
Well, I'm going to be very agreeable today, just like I was with Richard earlier. Every single thing you just said right there, I completely agree with. That's the beauty of the process. But what's frustrating me here is the management of the process at the department level that gets up to the finish line. There's no surprises here. We've known what the dates are. Why isn't the management of the department putting the focus on these things and saying, look, we've got meaty, real comments here. We need to address them. I'm okay with that. I'm not saying, matter of fact, again, Richard eloquently stated, I mean, we need to do that. That's appropriate. What's frustrating is how come we didn't do it timely?
Some things are out of our control.
Like what?
We do the best we can with the resources we got. And we did not and could not anticipate all of the information we received through the public comment process.
And here's where I say the management problem. I'm so sick of that excuse I can't tell you. I believe the excuse, by the way, but it makes me sick to hear it. But here's where I'm telling you the management problem is. We have to say, and I've been pounding on this drum for 2 years, that we're not going to accept comments after a certain date. Because what happens, and then we're going to schedule our approvals subsequent to that, that give us enough time to do these things adequately. But what we always do is we wait and we allow different people to submit things up until the 11th hour. They've been coming in for trickling, I believe was what you said, for the last 3 months. And we allow them to do that up until the 11th hour, thereby doing a sneak attack on us at the bitter end, that says, hey, these are substantive. God, I love substantive. Thank God they did it. We need to have that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong is our process and our management of this process that allows that to happen on this and, you know, on the Central Valley deal and on subsequent, previous items, dozens of times since I've been on this commission because, you know, I'm looking at this packet. Correspondence received after agenda analysis telephone conference April 21st. We allow people to continue to submit things. We've got to say this is the cutoff date. You miss the cutoff date, you're done. So, anyway.
Dan, if I may, this might be an appropriate time, Rick, for the attorney general's, our attorney general, to comment on the nature of the public process and what is permissible as a cutoff date and what is not.
The document, we do have, you know, on the draft document, March 13th.
Yeah, March 13th.
There was a solid cutoff date, which was less than 5 weeks ago, approximately 5 weeks ago, that
comments had to be received on the environmental document. So there was a set, and that is through the CEQA process, there is a set cutoff on the CEQA document.
And did we cut off all acceptance after that?
Yes.
Okay, good. And then so we set 5 weeks after that to adopt these regulations, right?
Yeah, and I would like to, I agree absolutely and understand your frustration and what you're after. And you have heard me, and your staff and the department staff have been working on this. These regulatory processes should really start a year and a half before. We start these things, frankly, too late. Part of that is we're under this constant grind, and we haven't had any breathing room. But I've been working with your commission staff, and you know, we should be starting these environmental documents over a year and a half before we plan on rulemaking. So we certify the thing probably before we even go to notice.
We should be working on them a year and a half early, Sankey, and have 60 or 75 or 90 days before we hear it, so you have adequate time to address the valid issues that are raised. I mean, the invalid issues or the issues that are already in there, that's an easy thing. The valid issues that are raised, as I know every single one of my fellow commissioners, want and expect them to be addressed. But what frustrates me is these delays. So anyway, I don't want to beat the dead horse, but we've got to change our process here because it's frustrating to me.
Well, Dan, hang on. Don has a comment, but really quickly on that exact point. Sankey, I know that it's embarrassing for the department to be put in a position where one of the peer reviewers has a logical complaint and a just complaint that he had almost virtually no time to review it, and therefore he wanted his name off the list. That is a very embarrassing situation. Don?
Yeah, Don Benninghoven. On Dan's point, which I agree with, what could we agendize this issue of the timing on the CEQA process where we have a mandatory time period in which we have to respond, like a starting of a hunting season,
yeah.
Unlike marine protection. Can we talk about how we go about the process of expanding that period of time? If it takes a year and a half, it takes a year and a half. But it seems to me we shouldn't let this go now and should spend the time necessary to see what we can do to correct the situation.
I think that's a good idea, Don. I think we, if it's okay with the rest of the commissioners, we'll go ahead and agendize that and have a full discussion on it where we can factor in even extra days because of furlough days and stuff like that, where these guys don't have to address it in those 90 days. So.
This is Rogers. I'm good with that.
This is Richards, and I'm definitely good with it. I will not, unfortunately, be at the May meeting, so I don't know.
We don't have to agendize it for the May meeting. That's a one-day meeting anyway,
yeah.
And we're going to be shorthanded there. So I don't think I think we should move it to a commission meeting where we have a couple of days.
Yeah, there's one final comment I want to make here, only because I think we need to highlight that comment. And in 360, we've got a reduction of our deer tags in that area that was promoted by sportsmen. Almost 50% reduction, I think, if I was writing the numbers down. I was trying to get them.
Very, very close.
And, I mean, it's very easy. I loved Richard's analysis there. I forget how you said it, Richard, but it was kind of funny. The picture, some people want to paint of sportsmen, but the reality is true sportsmen want fair chase. They want to have quality game to hunt and fish. And they want to have numbers that are adequate for the sustaining of them. And so I just it does my heart good to see that kind of a recommendation coming out of the sporting community.
Dan, it's my turn to laud your commentary. I agree entirely with what you just said. I find it immensely frustrating and agonizing even to have the sportsmen of the state of California set up as looking like they're some sort of bloodthirsty bunch of guys, when in fact they're quite in the main the opposite.
Well, Mr. President,
that's where you and I disagreed before, Richard. But
maybe I misunderstood you. It's the sportsmen that have, came to us originally with this request, and that that I ran with. And
no, Mr. Kellogg, I was President Kellogg, rather. I was completely defending the sportsmen.
All right.
The point of the matter here is that simply by the way we teed up, using Commissioner Sutton's favorite phrase, teed up this package, we fundamentally set the sportsmen up in the state of we, meaning the department and ourselves, set the sportsmen of the state of California up to look like what they aren't. And therefore, we precipitated this absolute floodgate of commentary that was, given the way it was set up, absolutely justified in terms of their concerns. Now, whether or not those concerns were justified or not, it remains for the department to continue its proper work on fleshing out their responses to the package, to the concerns evidence about the package, and be able to refute those concerns.
Okay, I interrupted someone else was trying to. Sankey had a comment in here.
Yeah, 2 points. One, I want to jump on the bandwagon of conservatism by our hunting community. In that X1 situation, these hunters know some of them will not be going hunting next year because of this. I mean, they're sacrificing that opportunity. So I appreciate the commissioners recognizing that. I'm going to be asking for some clarification. When you take action on these mammal regs, I would like to, the commission to entertain whether they would allow us to come back and re-notice the 265 and 365 rulemaking with the anticipation we'll get the CEQA thing buttoned up and ready for a potential rulemaking later on.
How soon can we do that, Song? This is Dan.
I can't promise that to you yet. I'm still working with staff on how long, and it will also depend on whether we have to recirculate the CEQA document for another 45-day period. So I can't tell you yet, date certain. But
let me help you here. When does the bear season open?
It opens with the deer seasons, but most of them don't open until September. There is an archery season that opens in July.
And how early before the season is typically opened do we have to hear this for adoption? What is we don't meet in July.
Right, and that's what I have had a chance to consult with your commission staff a little bit about our options. That's not totally worked out yet. As a matter of fact, a couple of them are chatting in the back. I guess the best way for me to explain it is if you decided to entertain re-noticing those sections to consider it for this year, it may result in additional opportunity occurring once the seasons have started for those areas. In other words, what I'm saying is, let's say, hypothetically, you wanted to see the San Luis County considered. Those regs may not go into place until during what the proposed season would be, but it's additional opportunity. So they may not be able to take full advantage of it, but it'd be something. So that's something you have to consider. It may not be a full package, but...
Well, Sankey, from my standpoint, this is Dan again, I think we need to work backwards from the possible dates that we can have our adoptions and then work into that schedule to give adequate time to make this thing happen, because it's frustrating to all of us. I'm not going to beat the drum again. We don't need to. But if we do that at a minimum, then we will we'll be doing the right thing ultimately. So I would very much like to see that, and I'd like to see some kind of recommended motion from us, from staff, that meets that objective.
Okay. Adriana has a comment on that.
Could I suggest that for May, the commission directs staff to include authorization to re-notice this item? It'll give us time to sort out the CEQA documents, but it will continue things moving forward, and we can prepare the ISOR or make changes to it, but to agendize it for the May meeting.
Can't we do that today?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, no. You have to ask us to agendize it. It's not listed as an action item on your agenda today, but we can add it to the May meeting agenda before it goes out later today.
Right.
I think Don has a question.
I was concerned and would have raised it at this meeting had the recommendation not changed from the Department of Fish and Game, but I'm very concerned about extending the bear season hunting to San Francisco County for a whole variety of reasons which we can get into. But how does this re-notice and indication, I hate to have the department go ahead thinking that everything's fine and if we just go through the process, we'll come back with the same recommendation. That doesn't help me at all.
Yeah, and I weigh in on that one. Don is looking for what are the no no change options or no options that are going to come back in the package. I'd like to just briefly, and I mean very briefly here, let me reiterate my concerns, and these are things that I'm hoping to see coming back to us. I think, once again, we have set ourselves up to be criticized in three very distinct areas. One is humane treatment. Okay? The humane treatment issue is both the wounding of in archery and the crosstalk that it gets with fair chase, which is the tipping switches on the dogs, because the inhumane treatment comes into the tipping switches because of what happens when a small bear, be it a cub or something like that, is in fact treated by dogs. Okay. Then the other thing is biology. The department has been criticized with respect to its understanding of the biological baseline for the bear population. We are estimating nearly 40,000 bears in the state, but from what I understand, we are not completely comfortable that we understand the dynamics of that population with respect to age and sex. And this, again, is the third thing which sets us up for criticism.
Okay, Commissioners, I kind of lost control here. Commissioner Sutton's been waiting and waiting to get a word in edgewise, and he hadn't had that opportunity. So.
Oh, poor bunny.
Thank you, Mr. President. I feel very far away from California, but I'm on my way back. I want to associate myself with Commissioner Richard Rogers has said this morning. And in fact, with most of what I've heard this morning from my fellow commissioners, I continue to be impressed with their thoughtfulness and wisdom, as usual. And I say that very sincerely. But just briefly, I'm actually less concerned about the process here, although I think, you know, surely there's always room to improve our process. And I think the department is doing as good a job as they possibly can under trying circumstances. But I'm more concerned about what Commissioner Rogers mentioned earlier, that we may be setting ourselves up for a situation here with respect to bear hunting where we win the battle but lose the war. That is to say, I have to correct one thing that Commissioner Rogers said earlier. In my quote yesterday in the Los Angeles Times, I didn't say that I thought bear hunting was an anachronism, but that I thought it's my impression that most people in California believe that that is the case. And with that in mind, I don't think that there's any question that if we rile up the anti-bear hunting community sufficiently, we are one initiative away from a ban on all hunting of carnivores like bears and mountain lions in California. With that in mind, it might be the wisest approach for the pro-hunting community to simply not make waves by insisting or trying to press through with an expansion of the hunting for these animals, but rather simply leave the status quo alone. That, of course, is a strategic question for the advocates. We have a responsibility, it seems to me, to the hunting community to do what's best in the long run rather than simply look at these cases issue by issue, hunt by hunt. And I personally would not like to see hunting diminished in California by initiative or any other process out of our control. So I think we need to be very careful what we do here with the longer view in mind, which is, of course, what we're mandated to take. So just a cautionary note that I'm very mindful of and appreciate all the thoughtful comments. I learn a lot at each of these meetings.
Okay.
I just got to make a comment, Mike. I'm the only one that was on this commission the last time that we had a bear issue where we raised the quota from 1,500 to 1,700 bears. And we had the same group of people oppose that. We ultimately ended up raising the quota from 1,500 to 1,700. And it wasn't up until the last 2 years that we actually reached the 1,700 and had to shut the season down prior to the scheduled closure of the season. And that, to me, is just that much more evidence that the bear numbers are increasing. And so I think that, yes, we have to be smart about how we do it, but we don't have to be scared.
Jim, I understand what you're saying. I really do. I'm just very concerned that we look tone deaf to the people who are concerned about this, and if in fact we can be painted as such, then the matters, things have really changed since the last bear package was done in the state of California in the minds of the voters. People have become far more conservation-oriented, and I think it would be taken out of our hands in a heartbeat. As Commissioner Sutton says, we're just one election cycle away.
Okay. We're through public comment. Are we through commission discussion? I've got four motions, suggested motions.
You guys ready for suggested motions?
I am.
San Diego is. San Diego, Santa Barbara is.
Yes.
Okay, the first suggested motion is that the commission authorize staff to add to the May agenda the discussion and possible authorization to go to notice on a new regulatory package for black bear. And keep in mind that we're finalizing that agenda today. The department will not have an eyesore prepared in front of us at the May meeting, but that it will give staff, we'll be working with the commission, the department, and it'll get us started on that track so that if the commission decides down the line to go forward with this consideration, we'll have that already started. Did that motion make sense?
What was the middle part?
Just say yes. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Were you serious? Do you want me to re-explain?
No.
Okay.
Do I have a motion in a second?
This is Dan. I'll certainly make the motion to support that.
I'll second it. Richard. Rogers.
Okay, we'll have a roll call, and I'm asking for all those in favor to say yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Benninghoven?
Yes.
Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
Commissioner Richards?
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg?
Yes. It will be recorded as unanimous.
Okay, so before that final agenda goes out today or tomorrow morning, we will add that. The next suggested motion deals with the environmental documents for elk. We are not going to consider certifying the final environmental document on the bear today for reasons explained. Suggested motion, Fish and Game Commission certifies that the final environmental document on the hunting of elk has been completed in compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act and that it was presented to the commission and the commission has reviewed and considered the information contained in the final environmental document prior to approving the project or projects contained within. The certified environmental document provides that there are no significant adverse environmental impacts resulting from the proposed projects. The commission finds on the basis of the facts in the record and the environmental document that the proposed projects and alternatives will have no significant adverse impact.
Okay, do I have a motion and a second?
So moved, Rogers.
Second, Richards.
Okay, I'll have a roll call on the question in favor of the motion. Signify by saying yes.
Commissioner Benninghoven?
Yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Richards?
Yes.
Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
Kellogg?
Yes. It will be recorded as unanimous.
Okay. Our next suggested motion deals with adoption of proposed projects, and included in this will be what quotas that were supplied by the department, the final tag quota allocations recommended by the department, and this will contain nothing on the proposed bear regulations. Those will stay as no change. Suggested motion, Fish and Game Commission, pursuant to section 21080.5 of the proposed Public Resources Code, hereby adopts the proposed projects for the proposed regulatory action relating to section, I'm sorry, this would be to section 360, deer, 361, archery deer hunting, section 362, Nelson bighorn sheep, section 363, pronghorn antelope, section 364, elk, and section 555, cooperative elk hunting areas, section 702, hunting applications, tags, seals, permits, reservations, and fees, and section 708, big game license tag application, distribution, and reporting procedures, and section 713, contemned big game carcasses. Also, the option 2, and I believe this is in 708, the department's recommendation that option 2, which is dealing with tag point issues.
Okay, do I have a motion and a second?
So moved. Rogers.
I want to discuss the motion, so I'll second it, but still want to discuss it. This is Dan.
Okay, on the discussion.
My discussion is on 708. Recommendation from the department is option 2, which is the less paperwork option to allow elk hunters to keep their points if they're unable for some legitimate reason to actually do the hunt, and they must submit that prior to the season starting. And the purpose of that, of course, is so in case they do go hunting and they weren't successful, they don't get to keep their points. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And well, with the exception that it's not just elk, it's all big game.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, here's my only suggested – well, I'd like the commission to discuss it. I'm absolutely okay with this idea, and I think the submission's got to be, you know, like a week before or something like that, not up to the day before. We got to have some kind of cutoff point where we allow that to happen. But the thing that troubled me was that we considered refunding the fees that they paid. And this is exactly what's wrong with our government right now, state, federal, and everything else, is that we're not getting paid anything near what we need. I think giving them the points back is fine. Refunding the money, I have a real question of what's the sense of doing that? Because it's even more work for us than the money that we had initially from them.
Go ahead, Chuckie, introduce.
Commissioner Richards, we have Maria Melchiori from the License and Revenue Branch here to kind of answer that for you.
This is Maria Melchiori. The one thing about refunding the fees is what happens is for, you know, a person has hardship, they can't hunt, so we allow the fees to be refunded, but we also go and we seek an alternate so that tag is used.
I get that, and I'm all good with that, but the amount of work that you people are doing needs to be compensated for. So we're giving someone a real gift and allowing them to keep their position.
And Dan, let me ask a clarifying question here. I thought there was a non-refundable tag fee involved in all tags that would cover that.
That is correct. For this, there would be a $25 non-refundable fee. The one thing on with the antelope, the elk, and the bighorn sheep, for some people, the tag fees could be a hardship if it's not refunded. The antelope is over $100. The elk is over $300.
But the $25.
I know all of this and the fees. And if it's not that big a hardship for them if they've paid for the fee up front. I would be opposed to giving the money back. We need the money for the management of the different species. We need the money in order to operate our department. I'm totally okay with letting them keep their points and not lose that. But refunding any money, I think it's actually an encouragement in some ways for people to be a little less than. I'm okay even with option two, which is the less than paperwork. But I think it's an encouragement for people to try and do that. And but forget that. I think we need the money, and if you've paid it and you can't go, then we're being benevolent by letting them keep their points. Refunding the money makes no sense to me at all.
Commissioner Richards, this is Saki Mastrup. The language actually says the department may refund. It does not say shall.
I think it should say will not.
Well, I'm looking to commission staff. The problem is at this stage we either do a no change or you accept one of the two options. Unfortunately, unless they could consider it a technical change. What I'm trying to get at is under the rule that's before you, if your direction is not to refund them, we can do that under what's proposed because the wording is it's discretionary.
We would just need direction, explicit direction.
Well, I'd like to see, this is how I feel. If I can get support from my fellow commissioners, great. If not, then that's how that goes.
If I could, Commissioner Richards, this is John Fisher. Perhaps the approach would be to make the change and then to direct the department to not refund.
That's exactly what I'd like to see.
And I think that we can make the change as it's written. And because you read Sankey may in that language, it's a discretionary thing for the department. And the commission could go on record as telling the department that the commission would prefer that you not
through
do
policy.
The refund. Yes,
through a commission policy, which would have to be drafted up, but it could be by the time the season is.
And if I have a question for automated licensing folks and Sankey, of course. This is Richard Rogers. As we're moving towards full automation of all of our licensing systems, I mean, it would be relatively easy if, in fact, we were online and operating in that to not confiscate their money, but as Dan is suggesting, not pay it back, but actually, because it simply could be a matter of T-strokes, to roll it forward into an account that hunter would have in the sense that they couldn't do this year, but they got the tag for the next year, it wouldn't cost you anything if you were automated. If you're not automated, that kind of an idea does cost you quite a bit. What's your thinking in that regard?
This is Maria Melchiori again. I don't know that the system has that capability. That would be something that I'd have to go back to staff and talk about. It does seem like you're not refunding them, but you're allowing them to have another opportunity, which I think might impact the quotas for the next year.
No, I'm not suggesting they have it. It's only if they get it.
Incredible.
Oh, only if they get drawn.
Only if they get drawn.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting you automatically get next year. I mean, I'm suggesting that rather than confiscating their money, we have the money. We have not given it back to them, but they have a credit if they ever –
Hey, Richard, let me, if I could address that, because I don't want to sound like I'm confiscating people's money, but we're really reaching out here and giving hunters an opportunity that does not exist right now, and that is to keep their points if something has occurred. To me, that's enough. I mean, I think they're satisfied with that. I think it's a great benefit if you say give your money back as well. But at some point in time, we have to acknowledge even the keystroke takes a $25 an hour person time to do it and send it out and the hardware. I mean, there's a lot of money here, and $25 never covers it.
Well, Dan, I completely agree with the philosophy of what you're saying. I mean, in deference, I'm all the time buying sport fishing licenses and licenses all over throughout the United States. And then if that trip falls flat and I don't get to go to Florida, you know, I don't get to use my 7-day permit.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
And it's gone.
The same thing happened to me.
Yeah, me too. So philosophically, I agree with you, Dan. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, either way is fine with me.
I don't have a problem with keeping the money. I have a problem with holding it over for the next time, because then I'm going to say that guy had a fair, unfair advantage of getting drawn because he already paid. You're creating more.
Oh, I see. Whether or not he actually had that opportunity or not, it looks like it. All right. Well, I'll buy that.
Just a perception, sir.
Sure. I buy that, Mr. President.
Well, can I make a suggestion to amend the motion, which I second, to go with option 2 as they're recommending on 708, with direction that the commission does not want, you know, although the language says may, the commission is directing that we do not want the money refunded.
You can do that if you get the maker of the motion to accept it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was hard.
Thank you, Richard.
Sorry, you had to wake me up first.
Okay, any other commissioners have a problem with that?
It's Mike Sutton. I completely agree with that.
I'm fine with that as well. Don Beethoven.
Thank you, fellas.
Do we have to re-vote then?
We haven't voted yet.
Right, but the change to the motion is for staff to draft up a policy on this. Is that what?
They can provide direction now, and then we can draft a policy for certification or adoption or reiteration at the June meeting.
So it's not changing the reg package right now. The reg package will still say may. Okay.
Right.
Okay, I alter my motion to direct staff to do just that.
And my second is altered as well, or amended.
Okay, and now I'm going to ask for a roll call vote. All in favor, signify by saying yes.
Yes.
No.
Not yet.
We're almost at the end here. Commissioner Sutton.
Yes.
Commissioner Richards.
Yes.
Commissioner Beninghoven.
Yes.
Commissioner Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes. It'll be recorded as unanimous.
We have one more whopper of a motion. This deals with the overall motion for adoption of the 2010 through 2012 mammal hunting regulations. Keep in mind that the bear sections will be removed from this. I am not going to read all of these numbers. They are in the notice. Sherry, that's fine, right? And I'll just give you the gist of this. And remember, we're removing all of the bear sections. Fish and Game Code, Fish and Game Commission, pursuant to the authority vested by sections 200 through several sections that are in the notice that was published on this reg, hereby adds and amends and repeals regulations of Title 14 CCR to amend sections that are all posted in the notice. Further, hereby the commission hereby directs its staff to prepare a notice of determination consistent with the approval of these projects and adoption of the associated regulations. This notice of determination is to be filed with the Secretary for Resources pursuant to Section 781.5 Title 14 CCR and Section 210805 of the Public Resources Code. Please note the regulatory language will be included as an appendix in the Commission Office Master Minutes.
It's Commissioner Sutton. I'll make that motion with the correction that it's the Secretary for Natural Resources, I believe.
What's that?
Just resources. Wasn't the name changed?
It is now the Natural Resource Agency. Natural Resource Agency.
I'll second it. So we'll have a roll call, and all those in favor signify by saying aye when your name's called, or yes when your name's called.
Commissioner Beninghoven?
Yes.
Commissioner Richards?
Yes.
Commissioner Sutton?
Yes.
Commissioner Rogers?
Yes.
Commissioner Kellogg?
Yes. It'll be recorded and it's unanimous.
That is our agenda.
Okay, that includes the teleconference commission meeting, and thank all of you for your participation.
Mr. President, could I ask a question? It's Mr. Sutton.
Okay.
Just a question to John Carlson to confirm our meeting date for May.
Is it a single day, and which day is it?
Yes, Wednesday, May 5th in Stockton.
Okay.
And that will be a one-day meeting. It will start at 8:30 a.m.
John, may I also ask, how long do you think that meeting will go? I bet it's full.
I believe it'll be a full day, but it won't be an excessively full day.
We're starting early, too.
Starting at 8:30, as I just said, and I think it should not go beyond 5 p.m., but no guarantees.
I may have a problem. Commissioner Sutton may have a problem getting there. I have to fly in that morning, and I'll do my best to be there on time, but I may need a ride from Sacramento Airport.
We'll work out the details.
This is Don Benninghoven. As you know, I will not be able to attend that meeting. A year ago, I planned to be out of the state then, and I have to...
Okay, that means we're down to three, so Commissioner Sutton's attendance is extremely critical.
As long as he's there by vote time, we're good.
I'd actually get some work done.
Right. In the Santa Barbara office here, we've been looking at a poster for the last couple of hours proclaiming the National Aquarium in Baltimore is probably the best aquarium in the world. You might see that while you're there, Mike.
Ha. Ah.
Ha. Ah.
That'll be the day.
Hey, Mike.
Yo.
Mike, you might consider flying into Stockton, which is way closer than Sacramento.
I'll be coming from Oregon on commercial air, I think. I may need to fly to Sacramento, but I'll do my best to be there early.
Okay, I thought you were flying a private plane. Okay. All right. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.